Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not thy sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
All right, appreciate that. Just before our young people go to junior church, to the big surprise upstairs, okay? Let me do a couple of free advertisements here, okay? First off, we've got a whole crate of these. I think Brother Smith brought in four crates of John Romans and four crates of these, and he left one crate behind. So these are little New Testaments, very nice, So if you want one of these, there's about four of these. If you want one of these or want to give one of these to somebody, grab them. My intention is to go out and give one to every house here in Dresden. We have enough, I think, to go right around. And so if you want to grab one of these, maybe for your kids or for a friend or relative as a witnessing tool, make sure you stick a gospel track in there before you give it away, okay? But grab a couple of these. Ed was going to grab one for his son, okay? Make sure you grab one. So they're in the back, and there's more upstairs if you'd like to grab some of them. Very nice New Testament, and we're going to give all of those away. Then I come across a book that was so interesting to me that I printed out five copies of this book, and I think there's still four of them left counting this one. I'd like all of the men of our church, each household of our church, to grab one of these books. It says this on the front: I was a church member for 26 years and preached for 8 years before I got saved, okay? So this is a guy that sat in a Baptist church for 26 years, taught Sunday school, was a deacon, did all the things that you do in a Baptist church growing up. And then he surrendered to preach, and he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for 8 years, and then he got saved, okay? And he describes here the crutches that he was leaning on to convince himself that he was okay for those 26 plus 8 years. And so again, boy, it's an excellent book, and I encourage you to go ahead and pick up a copy of that, read that. If you don't get a copy, I can get you a copy on the internet as well, because I can email you this. And so go ahead and grab a copy of that if you can get one. And I encourage you to read through that and understand. And then don't just stick it away someplace. Make sure that someone else gets that. Again, excellent, excellent book. And I'm afraid, again, that we find a lot of people in our churches are in exactly his condition. Even in independent KJV, Hellfire Preaching Baptist churches, there's a lot of people sitting around fooling themselves. And so he has all the fool's devices in there, and I encourage you to grab that book and read it. If you want it on a Palm Pilot, I can give you it on a Palm Pilot. Okay. All right. That's all the free advertisements I had. Let's have our junior churches dismissed to go on upstairs and... I think the surprise is going to be ready, but you could still lose out on the surprise by misbehaving. So I'd almost go up to junior church today, but no, we won't do that. The rest of us, let's open our Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. Anybody know what spelunking is? You heard of spelunking before? Title of today's message is Spelunking in a Quitter's Cave. Spelunking in a quitter's cave. If you don't know what spelunking is, okay, go get a dictionary and look it up, because I ain't going to tell you. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to pick up right in the middle of a story. I'll try to fill you in for those that may not be familiar with the whole accounting here, but we're going to pick up in the middle of a story and look here at the doldrums of being in the ministry, the doldrums of being saved, the doldrums of being in Good Samaritan Baptist Church for 16 years anniversary this year. Is that right? 91 to 2007. September will be 16 years, okay? And that's a lot of years, okay? And notice here, again, we want to look at keeping on for the Lord rather than spelunking in a quitter's cave. 1 Kings chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and he went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came there thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Father, I praise you again for your word. Thank you again, Father, for the accounting of Elijah and the great works that he did, but the great depression and discouragement that he saw. And I pray again, Father, that you'd keep us from going down his trail even this day. Father, that we'd be encouraged in thee. We'll give you the praise for causing again that we could learn some things from this scripture. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know, it's nice background noise, so. Do you hear it? It's chirping, okay? Is it annoying or is it pleasant? It's pleasant, okay? So we got a pleasant background noise of spring here. Probably some birds stuck in the partition between the walls. He's slowly dying. Oh, isn't that nice, all right? So anyway, let's go ahead and look here at Elijah. And we need to cover a little bit about Elijah and go back a little bit. Remember, those of you that were here on Wednesday night, we took on, at least I did, and intended that everybody that was here would, took on a challenge to pray for 10 days, even as God said to pray there in Matthew chapter 9. And so I trust you're praying that way, but I'll just be honest with you, your pastor, in day 4 here, I've had a little trouble praying that way. I don't know what I'm praying for. If I don't have something concrete that I'm praying for, I don't know exactly how to pray for it. So I have prayed again along with that lesson on Wednesday that we here could have, that we could, especially for your pastor, that he could see people as sheep that are scattered, okay, and fainting. And so again, when we look around this area here and we consider, well, here we are, and it's been a discouragement. It's been, I know I've been here for 10 years, and I can look out here today and say that, hey, there's not a single soul that has been saved under my ministry and added to Good Samaritan Baptist Church in 10 years. And I've got a couple quotes from Spurgeon that says, I ought to just retire and get out of the ministry and go to Elijah's quitter's cave if you're in that plight. But again, that isn't uncommon. Again, I've talked to other pastors again, and we're not seeing great people, great hordes of people coming to the Lord in these days. And here in this area, the pickings have been especially slim, and even when they come, they don't have root in themselves, as the God said, to stick it out. And so we here have hit a place where at least for your pastor, I could easily slump into despair, into discouragement. I could easily say, why go on? And here we can find in Elijah, that's exactly where he's at. Now, notice one other thing that always puzzled me about Elijah. If you turn back one page, in your Bible to chapter 18, you notice that Elijah here prayed 38 words, starting there in verse 36 or so. And when he prayed those 38 words, fire came down from heaven, and there was a great revival. All of Israel, including the king, was now turning their heart back to God, and he was in the midst of a great revival. He had just seen fire come down from heaven. He had just seen great things done. And now we find him in this very next chapter when a little bit of opposition rises up. When old Jezebel says, hey, that's it, I'm going to have you as dead as the, 400 prophets of Baal that you slew the other day. Listen, he had just come out of a tremendous victory. And for that now, he was slumping down into spelunking in a quitter's cave, as it were. And notice here, God came to him and asked him this question, what are you doing here? And I'd like to address that question. Now, last week we looked at two questions that was asked of God. God asked Adam, wherefore art thou? In relation to sin, where are you? Then he asked, in relation to God's blessing, he asked Jacob, what is your name? And so we looked at those two things last week. This week we want to look at this question here. What are you doing here? I used to have on the old pulpit, I used to have a banner that I put on right after I took some preaching course or something, and it read right across here in about a 14-point font so that I could see it every time I stood up behind the pulpit, and it said, what in the world are you trying to do to these people? And that's a good thing for a preacher to consider when he's standing behind the pulpit. What is their goal? What are we trying to do? And notice here, there's a flavor of that in God's question to Elijah here, what are you doing here? And every once in a while, it's good for us to stop and consider, yeah, what are we doing here, okay? And are we in the right place? Now, for Elijah, notice that he was not in the right place. If you read on down through there, God shows himself to him. Let me cover, again, I've got 9 points here that I don't want to preach. I just want to cover them real quickly. In fact, I think I've preached them before because they're listed in the margin of my Bible. But dealing with spiritual doldrums. What did Elijah go through here to bring him back from spiritual doldrums? Do we all know what doldrums are? Any sailors here? Okay. I like to watch the races. When I used to go up to school every morning, they'd have them sailboats out at dawn up here at the end of the lake, and they'd have all the races going down through. And every once in a while, if I was early, I'd just pull over to the side and watch them race. And I used to race a Hobie Cat, a sailboat with a 14-inch sail or 14-foot sail. And I loved that. And what happened is you can actually cut someone else off in the wind, and you can steal their wind, and they'll flop back again because you've stolen their wind, and they're in what can be called a doldrum, okay? In other words, it's a blockage of wind, and all of a sudden they're in a place where there's no wind. And therefore, their sail falls behind, and you take off and surge ahead. I always like to do that. But anyway, you can also end up, for sailing, not for racing, in a case where you're in the doldrums. And that, again, what is the doldrums? It's worse than slowing you down. It's like there's no wind at all, okay? It's when you have to man the oars, I guess. And so when there's no wind, that's a weather condition called the doldrums. You're out there, and you got your sails all up, and they just hang there, and there's no wind. Boy, if you're in the spiritual doldrums again, notice that there's no wind. What does wind represent? What did they hear in Acts chapter 2? They heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And listen, if you're in a place where there's no sound of a mighty rushing wind, and by the way, you are, okay? We haven't seen any great works done. We haven't seen any great amounts here coming to the Lord. We haven't seen 30s and 40s coming to the Lord for salvation. And so again, when we're in a condition when we're in spiritual doldrums, and we're not seeing a great wind, we're not seeing the power of God on your pastor or in this ministry, then again, here's some things again that happened to Elijah that pulled him out of spiritual doldrums. Number one, a little bit of rest. Okay? Verse 5 here that we looked at. Number two is a little bit of respite. Time just to get away. And to be out and again to consider some things. And that's where Elijah was. And that's where God put Elijah, by the way. A little bit of restoration in verse 7. And a little bit of retreat, it mentions in verse 26. So listen, being in a spelunking around in a cave isn't necessarily a bad place, but it ain't a place where we want to stay. Number 5 here is to rehearse some of the things that have already happened. Going back and considering some things that have already gone on before. Some things that, some miracles that we've seen in times past as encouragement. And God takes Elijah down that. And then he has Elijah refocus. And again, that's where he brings out again the earthquake and the flames and all the things that he shows Elijah. And he says, hey, when God speaks to us, it's not for a big show. It's not a big demonstration. That he just got through showing a big demonstration. But God speaks to us in a still small voice. And so again, to understand that and to be content with that and to refocus from the ministry that he had previous for him, now to go into his ministry into a new phase, a new time when he has to refocus. And now it's time to focus on a still small voice instead. And then number 7, I like this one. And that's part of my point that we're looking at today. And that is to recruit. He's going to have Elijah recruit a man named Elisha. And number 8 is to remember, number 9 is to rejoice. So these 9 things, again, are things that he took Elijah through. What I want to do is just look now at what happened when Elijah came out of the cave. What happened when he came out of Quitter's Cave? When he picked up his resignation paperwork and, as it were, ripped it up and said, okay, I'm going to go back at it. Here we are in springtime. And you know, all the trees and all the birds and all the creatures are back at it again. After a time of being in doldrums, if you would. After a time of laying dormant, things are springing back to life. And boy, I love this time of year. Not for fishing, just, okay, but that's good, all right. But boy, just to get out and to watch things come back of life that certainly look dead. And so we might fit that condition, okay? Look dead, but boy, spring is here. It's time for us to revive. It's time for us again to step out and to show those signs of life. And I hope that's in your prayer. It is in my prayer. Let's look again at some things that happened then to Elijah in this time of coming back. Verse 12, and after the earthquake and a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and he stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Isn't that the same question he just asked?
Amen.
Okay. Notice Elijah first got the question. I don't know whether he heard it, or he thought it, or he pondered it, but God asked of him, what are you doing here? And now this time, he says he heard it in a voice that said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You know, one of the best things that I have found for getting out of the doldrums, and Paul recommended this to the church at Thessalonica, who was going through great persecutions. Paul recommended this to the church at Philadelphia, who was going through great persecutions. He said, you need to pray, and then he mentions some other folks that he needs to pray for because they're going through great persecutions. One of the greatest things that I've found that helps me and keeps me out of the doldrums is to pray for Kingsway Baptist Church. Okay, he's been struggling over there for a long time. And again, if we just pray for him and recognize that, hey, he needs to be encouraged, he needs strength, pray for Pastor Hall down here in Bath. I've been here 10 years. He's been there 25 years. Pray for Pastor Abersol down there in Corning. Listen, there's some tremendous men of God who have a tremendous heart and a tremendous wisdom and knowledge and experience in God. And listen, they're going through some hard times too. And boy, one of the things that's just helped me as a preacher is to recognize that, hey, all this area around here, there's preachers again that are struggling. Pray for them. Pray that they'd be encouraged. We started a Pastor of the Month prayer recognition so that we could just pick one of these pastors and hold them up in prayer. This month we're praying for Pastor Brasser up here. Listen, an old soldier. It ought not be treated that way, but hey, again, we still need to pray for him. And when we pray for them, recognize that, hey, there's a lot of people that are going through some persecution, some hard times. We looked at Wednesday night when they sent out those 12, and then later on when they sent the 70, that one of the things promised is if you're going to go out and be a witness called by the Lord, sent by the Lord, two things anyway. Number one, you're going to have the power of God upon you. And number two, you're going to have persecutions of man upon you. And so, notice here again that Elijah's got this idea that, hey, I'm the only one left. And when we turn all of our focus inwardly about me's and my's and listen, I want you to know that you'll just sink right into a pity party that you'd never come back out of, okay? Instead, here, and God informs him that, hey, don't turn it all in. It isn't just you. Again, look around you. There's other people that need some help, need some encouragement. And look what he says to them. And the Lord said unto him, go return. Did I skip a verse? And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Notice the me's and my's. And listen, you be careful that you don't get all tangled up in your me's and my's. Oh me, oh my. And listen, you get into doldrums that way. You get into spiritual doldrums. So keep our focus turned outward to others, again, is an important thing about coming out of this cave and stopping the spelunking. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Notice again, God is recommissioning now Elijah, and he's sending him forth to get a new king. Going to get rid of the old king and get a new king, okay, over in Syria. And so he's got a task for him to do. And listen, when you come out of the cave, it's good that you recognize a new king, okay? That's not an exact application of this one here. This was the king of Syria that he was supposed to appoint. But being about God's business and recognize, hey, I do have a new king. I've got a king of my life. He owns me. I belong to him. This is not my ministry. This is not your ministry. It's not my church. It's not your church. This is his church.
Amen.
And boy, to recognize that we have a king who is in charge. And again, notice here that there's a new king in town, okay? And God wants to point it out that, hey, things need to go on. I'm giving you a commission. I want you to get out there and get involved again. Notice that it has nothing to do with Ahab and Jezebel.
Amen.
Going off to another nation and dealing again with what's going on in Syria. And so again, sometimes our short-sightedness looking inside is not only short-sightedness at oh me and oh my and Ahab and Jezebel, but we aren't looking off to the other nations of the world. I praise God that I'm standing in a church that constantly looks off to the other nations of the world. I praise God for that mission board over there. I praise God. Again, I've just called up four missionaries yesterday and got one more that wants to come to Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I tell them, hey, there's only 12 of us here and we're supporting 12 missionaries already. And they say, we still want to come, okay? I say, hey, the likelihood that we're going to see a miracle, I shouldn't say this, but the likelihood that we're going to see a miracle and be able to take you on hasn't looked real good in the past, okay? They still want to come here. And listen, I encourage them to come so that we can keep a mission mind and keep looking all over the world. And so again, notice here that he's telling Elijah here that, hey, it isn't just your own hometown here. You got to lift your vision to all the other nations. And so he's lifting his sights a little bit, lifting his eyes, even to look out at Syria. Verse 16, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Well, who's the king of Israel now? Ahab. Okay? So, not only that is he going to lift his eyes and look at other nations and take care of problems out there and take care of business out there, but hey, don't worry, there's a king coming that's going to replace old Ahab. What did God already say about Ahab and Jezebel? Hey, their clock's ticking. And so again, he gives them business to do abroad. He gives them business to do at home concerning the king, concerning royalty. And notice what it says, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Well, who's this guy Elisha? Verse 18, notice what he says here. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. And so he departed thence, and he found Elisha. So listen, here he's going to go. He's going to appoint a new king in Syria. He's going to appoint a new prophet that'll be in his place. It's going to be a helper in the closing years of his ministry. And he's going to appoint a new king that's going to reign over Israel. And God's telling him, hey, don't get this idea that you're all alone in this thing. And so, for you and I, let's take the same advice, okay? Let's keep our focus on, hey, those nations that are all around the world. That we could, again, I mean, we can't go. Well, maybe we could, okay? I say you're never too old to go to the mission field, all right? God can do any miracle he wants, and I've seen a 77-year-old man go back into the mission field and head down to Mexico, okay? On a mission, not a mission trip, but a mission life. He closed out his retirement years in Mexico, serving as a missionary, starting at age 77. So, again, God can, but again, notice that we need to have our focus lifted higher than just our little home nest here. Number two, we do have to have a focus on our home nest here, okay? We do have to understand that, hey, the gospel needs preached right here where we're at. And so we've commissioned on Wednesday night that we would pray that way. And then notice also that he said, that, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone in this thing. And boy, I want to encourage you that even this week that we take on, as we're praying for Good Samaritan Baptist Church and that God would do some things here, as we take that prayer for 10 days, boy, let's go ahead and understand that, hey, there's some other churches around here that are hurting, that are struggling. There's a church up in Thompson. That again needs our prayers, and a pastor up there that needs to be encouraged. And listen, if God could do it without prayer, he probably wouldn't have commanded us to pray about it. So let's make sure that our prayers, again, are for those that are around us, and we understand that, hey, there's a lot of people. Notice what he said here. How many thousand did he have? 7,000, he says, that have not bended a knee. There's 7,000 out there that's standing firm. There's 7,000 that haven't compromised on a modernist Bible. They're still taking a stand on a King James Bible. There's 7,000, again, that are still out pounding on doors and going soul winning. There's 7,000 that's preaching on the streets and causing, again, that the gospel goes out. And so, again, here, we need to understand that. Well, I missed this last pastor's fellowship. It was up at Pastor Overton's, and I wanted to get up there. I messed up my calendar and ended up working all day Tuesday instead of the preacher's fellowship. But boy, again, I like going to those preacher fellowships because that helps me understand that, hey, there's other churches around here that are struggling and going through some hard times. And again, there are some other churches around here that are getting people saved, praise the Lord. A church that I came out of up here in Friendship, up in Rome, again, boy, they're adding people to the Lord and the church is growing and things happening, you know, that just makes the devil mad. And I like making the devil mad. Wish we could do it around here a little bit, all right? But again, understand that, hey, getting around and recognizing, hey, there are others out there. Is a help and encouragement to us. I like to bring an evangelist in here a couple times a year. I like to bring these missionaries in who have been bouncing around to these other churches and can let us know that, hey, it's hard all over. And it's probably good for your pastor to know that the grass isn't any greener on the other side of the fence, all right? But again, we understand that there are works going forward, taking a stand for God all over the place. And even though we'd look at the news, even though we'd look at what's going on in Albany, we'd look at what comes out in the Freedom's Alert and say, man, we're going, our nation is going down so fast that we'd be discouraged. Again, understand that there's a few that's going to take a stand, and we're going to be with that few.
Amen.
The Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the gate, and wide is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many churches there be that are on that path. So again, we're going to stay on a straight and narrow, and we may stay few, but boy, again, I don't want us to resign our commission. I don't want us to go live in a spelunker's cave. I want, again, that we'd be about the business, even as Elijah here was told to get about God's business again. And so as we, again, step into this Easter season, I'm used to ministering in Catholic areas, and there's two times a year when you can get a Catholic to go to your church and visit. You know, if a Catholic visits a Baptist church, they've got to go to confessional and confess that to their priest, Roman Catholic. But anyway, we could get them to come out on Christmas and Easter, okay? They felt this obligation to come. Around here, I haven't found that, okay? On Christmas and Easter around here, they go fishing or something. But again, understand that, hey, we're coming through this Easter time. Let it be a time when we just celebrate what Christ did for us. Next week's Passover. And boy, when we examine again the Passover lamb, when we examine again that he was chosen out 10 days before his crucifixion. He was chosen out again to be the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And they called him out and gave him a triumphal entry into Jerusalem where they would there crucify him as the Passover lamb just 10 days exactly, or on the 10th of the month. And then on the 14th they would crucify him. Exactly, what is that? 4 days. 4 days earlier, okay? Boy, when we go through that again, recognize that hey, that's what it's all about. It is the fact, again, that He is our Passover Lamb. That's what we preach. That's what we cry. That's what we're witnesses for. And as we step through these next couple weeks of celebrating the resurrection, I want to visit again here this and closing out the month of March and recognize that, hey, we've got a work to do. And we cannot be in the doldrums. We need the Spirit of God. Your pastor needs the power of God on his life. Those that we're praying for, that the Lord would send them out. You know what they need? They don't need whipped behind the ears. They don't need kicked to get out there. They need the power of God on their lives. And that's what we ought to be praying for, that God would empower. When the Lord sends someone out, He empowers them. We saw that. And so again, let's look again to be encouraged. Elijah, when he come out of the cave, I can't help but think there was some enthusiasm in his step. He had a new commission. He had some things that he was given by God to go out and do. And I can just picture him coming down out of that. He'd already had some angel food cake and he'd gone 40 days and 40 nights, listen. And so he went on the strength of that for all that time. I gotta believe that when he came down out of that cave there, he still had enough strength to go for another 40 days. He had some enthusiasm and some excitement in him that would cause again that he would again be overjoyed to be in the ministry. And so as we here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church consider again what's on our plate, what's before us, the commission that God has given us. I want you to know that you just need to pray for your pastor. I'm still good. The last 2 years, as I recall, we have canceled any vacation Bible schools because we don't have any kids. Why have vacation Bible school? Listen, I don't know, but what we ought to have a vacation Bible school this summer. I don't know why, but we can have a good time here anyway if we don't get any kids. But we ought to pray. Listen, if God can bring two kids to Sunday school here, I think He could bring 30.
Amen.
There's some things that we ought to do and expect great things of God. And I said you need to pray for your pastor because I'm having a problem with that. It's hard to expect great things from God when we've just seen defeat after defeat after defeat. I put together a list of all the people that I've ministered to here in my 10 years at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And boy, some of them I couldn't help but fight back tears when I think of where are they at today. Think of the young people that have passed through here. Think of the bus kids that we've picked up and the bus driver. And boy, again, it'll break your heart to understand that the devil's gotten all the victories here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of sick and tired that the devil's got all the victories, okay? Boy, I'm praying that we'll see some victories here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We're coming into spring. We're coming into revival. We're coming again, a time when things revive and come alive again. Let's pray that we could have revival here and that we could come out of a spelunker's quitter's cave and that we could do some great things for God here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And everyone here, just like Wednesday night, everyone here in this service, I mean, maybe you can't go out and pound on doors, maybe you wouldn't, but listen, you can pray.
Amen.
Everyone in this room. And that's the first command that we're given, is let's just pray. And you know, you pray for your pastor, because I pray, I was talking with my sweetheart this morning about having expectations. It's hard to pray for things if you have no expectations. So pray, not only pray that God would send forth workers, pray that God would send His power, but pray expecting that God would. Expecting an answer. And that's a tall order. But here again, the other choice is to sit around in a cave, a quitter's cave. Listen, I don't want to pastor a church That's gone back to the cavemen. I like those commercials too. But listen, we're not going to be back to cavemen around here. Let's go ahead and include some power in our prayer and ask for some power in our prayer. Ask for some great things to be done as we go through this summer. Ask for some great things to be done on that board. I've already filled pretty much our summer every month with a missionary coming through here and sharing a burden that they would go out and preach the gospel. And the phone's still ringing. And listen, I haven't heard of one yet that I wouldn't support if we could. Let's pray again that God would do some great things in Syria, here in Israel, and again that we could see great things done. Don't be discouraged. Don't be in the doldrums. Let's again be encouraged in the Lord. Father, praise You again and thank You for Your Word. Thank You again, Father, for Elijah. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand how He could leave such a pinnacle of opportunity, such a pinnacle of rejoicing, and enter down into a cave of doldrum. But Father, as we look at that, we understand that pinnacles don't last forever. That great revivals, again, are going to stagnate and slow. And thousands coming to You is going to be reduced until here we are at a state, Father, where we're eager to see one saved in a year. We'd just be all excited if You'd send us somebody, send us anybody. Father, I pray again that You'd send Your power, that You'd send Your wind into our sail and cause again, Father, that we could see great things done here from a little church that needs to hear from You. We'll give You the praise again for touching each heart here, and as we go through these next six more days of praying for great things done from You, I pray again, Father, that You'd see our heart, that You'd hear our prayer, that You'd intercede with groanings that we couldn't understand, and Father, that we could indeed see an answer to our prayers. Thank You again for this church. I thank You for its 16 years of standing for You. And I pray again, Father, that we'd not only stand, but we'd flourish, and that we could see great things done in this year. Father, thank You again for the message. Thank You again for the things that you pointed out here to Elijah. And thank you especially that you pointed them out to this preacher. Thank you especially that you pointed them out to Good Samaritan. May we again pursue after you, and may we again, even in these days before Easter, Father, see a great pouring out of your Holy Spirit. We'll give you the praise now as we ask these things in the name of our Lord, of our Savior, and your Son. Amen. Amen. Brother Dave, come on up. Let's go ahead and sing our invitation song about revival. You got one on revival there. All right.
So I'll turn the page.